We're continuing with the Lashot Aran. We're up to page Reish Samach Gimel in the Mosander of Cook edition. And page Kuftet Vav in the Machon Shalem edition. The Ran had quoted a Gemara in Kittin, which seems perplexing. The Talmud over there asks, is the majority of the Torah the written law or the oral law? And we said, look behind me at all the volumes of Talmud and a little Tanakh. How could the Talmud have such a question? And then the Talmud gives you an argument between a Rebbe and his disciple. Rebbe Eliezer says, most of the Torah is the written law. How could Rebbe Elazar, that's Rebbe Elazar ben Pidas, the last disciple of Rabbi Yochanan, how could he argue with his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, who says, most of the Torah is the oral law? How could he say such a thing? Uve'emet. So the Ran continues and says, Shafiru Rabbi Elazar shamar shatorah rov bichtav, that even when Rabbi Elazar said, most of the Torah is the written law, lo chatzan omar, shetuvan ruba b'mash katuv ba. He didn't mean to say, you want to understand Torah, just open up a Tanakh, most of what you need to know is written there. Sheif shar shelo yishtabesh ha-mayen b'rov ha-mitzvot u-bekulan. It is impossible to learn the written law and get it right with regards to most mitzvot and maybe even all mitzvot. It is impossible to understand the Torah, to end up living a Jewish lifestyle the way we live it, if you take only the written Torah. Impossible. You're not going to get there. And we gave a few examples. An eye for an eye. Our tradition is that you do not take an eye for an eye. You're not allowed to take an eye for an eye. Every death penalty has our tradition on as to how it should be interpreted. On Shabbos it says, don't leave your place. That's it. Stay seated. Everyone sits and meditates for 24 hours. Anyways, how do you know if the day begins at night or by day? The Ran says, Rabbi Elazar cannot argue with the idea that it is impossible to understand the written law without the oral tradition. So what did Rabbi Elazar mean when he said, most of the Torah is the written Torah? When he said the written Torah, and this isn't only the Ran, we saw this idea in other commentaries, included in the written Torah was the laws of derivation. When he says written Torah, and this idea we saw also in the Prime Gadim in his introduction to the Codex to Shulchan Aruch, he says written Torah means written and that which is derived from the text. Oral, he means oral tradition that is not text-based. So Rabbi Elazar says, using the laws of derivation, we know we have 13 laws of inference, laws of derivation, logical laws which we use to derive concepts from the verses themselves. So that's what Rabbi Elazar means when he says most of the Torah is the written law. He means the written law and its derivatives, its logical derivatives. So there you're really encompassing the 613 mitzvot and their definitions. Some things are not in the written law. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah have black tefillin. I want gold tefillin, doesn't say. There are certain things that have no basis in the written law. Slaughter an animal with a knife that's so sharp. Where does it say that? There are certain halachot that really have no basis in the written law. They're all oral tradition. The 39 prohibited actions on Shabbos, you could argue. So there are things which do not have a basis, and that's what the Talmud over there is calling the oral law. The things that stem from the written law, that's what Rabbi Elazar means is the written law, and that's what he means, that's the majority of the Torah. Now he adds another point which needs a lot of work. He says, so most of the Torah has an allusion in the written work. That's Rabbi Elazar's stance. Now we need to expand on this a little bit. We will finally touch on a point we've been alluding to for many years. But yeah, first we'll hear you. Yeah.
I just want to make sure the person I'm understanding properly. So he's arguing, he's saying that most of it is from the written, but it's saying that even if, like, with just the written, like, say, for example, like, the communities in Ethiopia, they didn't have access to the oral tradition, like, even they used the laws of derivation, they could have understood, like, the majority of stuff just from the written law. Like,
I want to answer that in a minute. In general, you're right, but it needs just a few more points. Yeah. Okay, so right. So the laws of derivation are an oral tradition. They are halacha al-Moshe mi-Sinai. But that doesn't mean that what's derived using them is halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai. No. So, firstly, we have to know that the laws of derivation are laws of logic. Rav Pesen Zatzal wrote a work showing how modern law, constitutional law, uses the same laws to interpret the Constitution. So he was based on a work called Halichos Olam, written by Rav Katzenelenbogen, in which he says the laws of inference are laws of logic. He takes it as a given. So the laws of inference, we have 13 laws of inference, they're laws of logic, and using them you can derive the Torah. What does that mean? So there's a long work that the Netziv wrote, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin, 100 years ago. He wrote a work introducing his commentary to the Shiltos, and in that work he focuses on the word pilpul. He focuses on the idea that the concepts that come from oral tradition have a basis in the written Torah. Meaning, he describes the Torah as being a balance. There are concepts in Torah which we have from oral tradition, but if you sit there and scratch your head long enough and you think sharply enough, you can actually derive them from the written law. Meaning, using the laws of derivation, you could get very, very far, as Amichai correctly said. If a person really mastered the laws of derivation, they could really derive from the Torah a tremendous amount of things. Even things that were given to us in the oral tradition. That's the way the Torah was built. And proof of it is that 3,000 halachos were forgotten when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. So until that point, they were halachos we knew from tradition. And then Osniel ben Kenaz, it says he sat down and he focused intensely on his Torah studies, and he was able to recreate those 3,000 halachos, to derive them with his pilpul, with his sharpness, from within the Torah. Says the Netziv, how do you do that? That teaches us that if you're only sharp enough, you can even find within the Torah those mitzvot that stem from the oral tradition. Now, I'm oversimplifying a very long and complex essay. I'm taking just one idea when really I'm leaving out many details. And we have to learn the Netziv's introduction to the Shiltos to see all those details. But in a nutshell, that's what he says. There's one point we have to bear in mind, and that is that that exact understanding of the laws of derivation is something you need a tradition for. To apply the laws of derivation correctly, you need to have a very strong tradition, and we've lost that tradition. And that's why in the days of the Mishnah, in the days pre-destruction of the Second Temple, and maybe for a century after the destruction of the Second Temple, if you would ask a rabbi a question, he could sit down, learn Torah, and say, I'll get back to you in a week or two, and figure out the answer from the Torah. We no longer are masters of the laws of derivation like they were, and so we cannot answer questions that way. When Ilan Ramon gives a phone call and says, Rabbi, when do I put on tefillin when I'm on the moon? When do I say Kiddush? The rabbi can't say, well, give me a day or two to review my Torah using the laws of derivation, I'll give you an answer. He can't do that. We do not have that tradition strongly enough, and that has been the case for almost 2 millennia now, that we do not have the tradition strongly enough to be able to use the laws of derivation to now answer new questions based on our own derivation from the Torah. So yes, you're right, Amichai. Technically, using the laws of derivation, one could recreate even things that are on tradition. Realistically, we don't have that capacity anymore. We haven't had that capacity for almost 2 millennia now. So what we're doing today is we're working backwards. We're working with the Talmud, and the Talmud tells us where the laws of derivation were already applied. But we cannot take the laws of derivation today and apply them anew. We can't come along and say, okay, I'll start using the laws of derivation now to derive halachot. Sorry, he's waiting.
Okay, two questions. First, I just want to ask if you can clarify what the laws of derivation are, if I'm clear. And then B, Could you have a sort of a committee of top halachot rabbis and everything who are, yeah, I guess, apt in the laws of derivation to derive, just not to be made into halachot for now, but for the future, for purposes of the future?
No. Once we don't have it, then no one can do it. The rabbis of the Talmud couldn't do it. The rabbis of the Talmud were recreating what where the Mishnah derived from. Meaning they looked at the Mishnah and said, okay, here's the law of the Mishnah. Now, where did the Mishnah get that from? They weren't coming and inventing an opinion based on a derivation. They were trying to figure out the derivation that the rabbis of the Mishnah had already used. And this idea that I'm saying now is a Ramban. Nachmanides, in his commentary on Maimonides, Sefer HaMitzvot, says what we just said. That the prime focus of the Talmud is to recreate where did the rabbis of the Mishnah derive it from. And the idea that we no longer have that capacity to derive is a Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says that when the Talmud says 2,000 years Torah and then 2,000 years the days of the Mashiach, what the Talmud was really saying is that there was a period where we had the laws of derivation down pat from Moshe, going down another 1,500 years approximately, and then we lost that tradition. And so we can no longer develop Torah in that way. That's why we're in the period that's not called the two millennium of Torah.
So you're saying in a way that the Torah is not perfected, but for lack of a better, like I just use that for lack of a better word, but Torah in the form that the Torah is mature.
Right. Well, we cannot develop it
right.
In many, many ways that theoretically we should have been able to.
So what are the... Okay, now, first, what are the laws of derivation, and what you just said in the ways that we should be able to? What do you mean by that?
I mean that when the Torah was given, it was given with the laws of derivation so that we would apply them.
Okay.
It's a pity that we cannot do that anymore. And the laws of derivation are... Kal v'chomer, we say it in the morning and davening. Kal v'chomer is a fortiori. Gzera shava is when we have a tradition that two words used in different contexts have the same meaning, and then they will have many and sometimes one commonality legally. So if you use the term man in one mitzvah and use the term man in another mitzvah, they might have common ground. You understand that if you don't have a tradition on that, then you could destroy the whole Torah. Because you could just flip things over backwards and forwards by saying, well, this word's here and that word's there, so let's just apply the concepts back and forth. That's an example of the 13 laws of derivation. Then you have a binyanav, you have a rule where sometimes if a concept is illustrated in one area, so then you apply it throughout. The Torah tells us that when it comes to taking vows, so a girl that's engaged is different than a girl that's fully married. And from there we learn that in many areas of halacha, a girl that's engaged is different than a girl that's married. And in that context, the Torah defines a girl that's married as being a girl that went from her father's house to her husband's house. So we learn from that that in many areas, once she goes from her father's house to her husband's house, she becomes married to her husband. The Torah said it pertaining to the vow, and we make a binyanav. We say, okay, this is teaching me throughout. Now, there are rules about when you can and cannot. Then you have klal uprat uklal, where the Torah would say a general term, then a specific, then a general term. Meaning, let's say, I'll give an example from here, not from Torah. I want you guys, you and you, to come to, that the guys should all come to my house. So what did I say? I began by saying guys, then I said you and you, and then I said all the guys. So what did I mean? I probably meant all the guys that are like you and you sitting in this classroom. I didn't mean all the guys in the machon. I didn't mean all the guys in the English department. I began by saying a generality, two specifics, and then again a generality. So we say, okay, so what did you mean by that? The Torah says if you want to take an animal, and then it gives specific types of animal. It says if you wanted to take any of those animals, you as a sacrifice. So we say generality, specifics, generality. So how do we generalize from that? What rule did that teach me? What if there's only one generality and one form of specifics? How do we generalize from that? So again, these are laws of how to define the words in the text of the Torah and how to derive from the words in the text of the Torah.
Do we have anymore.
Not to answer new questions. We could work backwards. We cannot work forwards. We could take the oral tradition we have and say, okay, this came from A and this came from B.
Okay, and so and then based on the way that those laws of derivation are exercised in the past, you know, the way it's documented in the Talmud, then we're able to apply it to those logic to modern day situations and questions.
Right, right. So Rabbi Elazar says, if you analyze Torah, most of Torah is the written law and that which is derived from the text itself. That's what he means when he says Rov Torah is written. He means written and revolving around the written, derived from the written. Rabbi Yochanan chalak v'amar sh'rov ha'Torah al peh. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the majority of Torah is not based in the text. Ki ben otam ha'dvarim shem halacha l'moshem Sinai ven takanot shesu chachmim kdei la'asot siag la'Torah hu rov ha'Torah. He says, you know, most of what we're doing today is some of it is halacha l'moshem Sinai, has no basis in the text. There's plenty of stuff. You start Shabbos earlier. You start Shemitah earlier. You have so many things that you do that's halacha l'moshem Sinai, that's on tradition. And then you have things that are rabbinic institutions that have nothing to do with what's in the text. Most of what you're doing all day, you're davening three times a day, that's rabbinic. You're wearing a yarmulke, that's rabbinic. You make Kiddush Shabbos day, that's rabbinic. Most of what you're doing, most of the Torah, is actually either rabbinic or tradition. But it's not something where you could derive from the text. There's, hey, if you compare the two, that is more. It seems like the Talmud sides with Rabbi Yochanan, Shamar, Lo karat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Brit Im Yisrael Ela B'Shvid Dvarim She'Ba'al Peh. It says the covenant with God was cut over the things that are oral tradition. Ratzal Omar She'Ikar HaSachar Hu B'Ma She'Chadshu HaChamim Hu B'Ma She'Itaknu Kdei Asot Siag LaTorah. It seems to say that our prime wages in this world is to fulfill the rabbinic institutions or the things that they made to protect us, to protect the Torah. You don't touch a pen on Shabbos. You don't walk around with a cell phone on Shabbos. That's rabbinic. That's not derived from anywhere. There are so many things that we do that are rabbinic. Think about your day. You don't eat chicken with milk. Rabbinic. I'm saying that there are so many things. Think about it. So many things that we do that are rabbinic. If you think about your day, you wash your hands, Nagel Vasser. Rabbinic. Yeah? All the blessings you make on food, rabbinic. Netilas Yadayim is rabbinic. Yeah.
It's also rabbinic not to eat meat and milk together.
No.
And the prohibition of Torah is not to cook meat and milk.
Okay, so that's already derived from the Torah.
Of the same animal.
That's already derived from the Torah. That's not. That's biblical because it's derived from the text. Chicken and milk is rabbinic because it's not derived from the text. It's a rabbinic institution. Meat and milk is derived from the text.
As in the prohibition is to not kid in his mother's milk. So you could take from that that you can kid in another's.
Right, it's our tradition. There's a way that it's derived that any animal's milk doesn't have to be her mother.
You sure that's not just a rabbinic thing?
I mean, we could look it up later, but yeah, I won't have time today, but next week. So, what? Yeah, all the blessings you make during the day, that's rabbinic. Think about your day. How many mitzvot do you do that are biblical? How many that are rabbinic? You do probably on an average day, you do a few hundred rabbinic, and you do a few biblical mitzvot. Most of your day, you're doing rabbinic things. The blessing before you eat bread, the blessing on washing your hands, the idea of washing hands. The blessing after bread is biblical. If you ate bread, if you didn't eat bread, all the other blessings are rabbinic. Yeah?
Do you think they're right from not because they're rabbinical?
That's a good question. We're going to say yes, even though the answer is not only yes. Some things are, they had on tradition, Halacha l'Moshe Misinai, and then the Nevi'im gave them verses, but really they were Halacha l'Moshe Misinai until the Nevi'im came along.